Did you know 38% of Ohio's teenagers have spent money on gambling in video and online games? Items like mystery boxes, skins, and spin to win mimic gambling, putting children at a higher risk of experiencing a gambling disorder as an adult. So get in the know about youth gambling and start the conversation with discussion guides, parent resources, and more at changethegameohio.org. That's changethegameohio.org.
At RX Bar, they believe in simple nutrition without the BS. That's why they said no to artificial ingredients and yes to deliver intentional, transparent nutrition. Try their original 12-gram protein bar, the Nut Butter and Oat Bar, or Minis. RX Bar, the proud sponsor of No BS. Use code RXBAR on rxbar.com for 25% off. Subject to full terms and conditions and to change. Valid until September 30, 2025, and may not be combined with other offers. See rxbar.com for full details and limitations.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, we often feature some sort of nonsense new trend on TikTok, but it's not all bad. This time of the year, young people preparing for exams turn to TikTok for a bit of help. Katie Lenihan is a French and Spanish teacher with the Dublin Academy of Education and a TikTok teacher. Afternoon, Katie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm all good. How are you?
Oh, not bad. You know. Can't complain, but I still do.
Yeah.
But nobody cares, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't there a limit, though, on the length of a TikTok video? So you have to kind of think very carefully what you want to put in it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not so much about the length of the video. It's about the length of the person who's watching it, their attention span. So you really have to kind of fight to get their attention to keep them watching.
Yeah. So how do you go about doing that?
It depends. I suppose there's different ways of thinking about it. There's times that something goes really well in one of my classes, or maybe something doesn't go that well in one of my classes, and I say, okay, we need to find something to fix this or to help students. And I suppose instead of just limiting it to helping my own students, it's a nice way of figuring out that, you know, there's actually loads of students around the country that are still making the same mistakes. And, you know, so I would take inspiration from that maybe sometimes. Or I suppose like last year during the Leaving Cert, there was an awful lot of what I kind of thought was quite negative content going around, of people talking about these like crazy 12-hour study days or mistakes that they made in different papers and stuff. And I made a video saying, like, kind of nearly warning students about the kind of content that they consume during the Leaving Cert. And out of nowhere, I woke up the next morning and it had like 40,000 views.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it obviously had kind of hit home with a lot of them. So sometimes it's not just French and Spanish. It's, I suppose, I think back to myself in sixth year and I say, okay, like, what did no one tell me and what did I wish that I had heard before that? So that's another way of thinking about it as well, I guess.
Yeah, so and specifically on that subject, what kind of content are people consuming around Leaving Cert time that perhaps they could do without?
I think there's an awful lot of like comparison. Like, they compare themselves enough to each other anyway, without seeing that people are, you know, getting up at 5 a.m. to study, because, you know, everyone works at different times or whatever. So it's, you know, they kind of put pressure on themselves. They see what other people are doing, or people talk about like that they're so disappointed with the grade that they got and it's a H2, and the person who's watching that video might could only maybe dream of getting a H2. And I think coming up to the Leaving Cert, it's not just a case of studying, but it's a case of, you know, looking after yourself as well and making sure that you have the energy and that you have the attention span going into the exam. So those kind of videos can often really affect students, and it might be the last thing they see before they go into an exam. And it could be detrimental to how they perform in the exam itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, in say the run up to the Leaving Cert, everybody mm-hmm. studies more than they normally would. Is there, if you like, a tipping point where you can only increase the amount of study you do so much? After that point, you're not doing much good at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, at this stage of the year, it's definitely quality over quantity of study. You know, like, you're kind of at the finish line now, and it's just a case of making sure that when you are doing work, that it's, you know, it's effective, that it's exam based. You're not just writing notes out again. It should just be practice at this stage. So one of the techniques I always say to sixth years around this time of the year is to use the Pomodoro technique, which is where you know, get rid of your phone for 25 minutes And instead of saying you're going to revise something, that you take a task and you do that task for 25 minutes. So whether that's working through part of an essay, or if it's doing a French opinion piece or doing a comprehension or something, but you do 25 minutes of work and then you take a 5 minute rest and then another 25 minutes of work and then another 5 minute rest. And then after four rounds of that, you take, you know, 40 minutes off. Because I think that's also a good way of like training your brain as well, that you kind of, you feel accomplished at the end of each of those 25 minutes, as opposed to saying that you're going to sit down and do 8 hours of studying in a day and then you're just exhausted, or you feel like you didn't get enough done in those 8 hours. So I think kind of short bursts of studying that are exam based and kind of more task focused are way more effective at this stage of the year, in my opinion.
And is it possible? I know you mean you'd always find someone saying, definitely this will come up this year. You know, is that a fool's errand trying to make those predictions?
I don't necessarily think that predictions are a bad thing, but I think people can often read into them too much. So for argument's sake, if you're a sixth year and you're listening to this now, or you're watching a video about predictions on TikTok or something later, you have to remember that that's just that one person's opinion. So if you are kind of banking on predictions, I would try and look at maybe find 5 or 6 different teachers' opinions of it and see, okay, are there any crossover? And maybe that's going to be the one that you focus on a little bit more, because it's not just one person's opinion. But I think kind of the more you are familiar with the Leaving Cert, the more you can maybe recognize patterns or see what has happened in previous years, that something has happened and then this came up. So they're not awful, but they're definitely not the only thing that you should be focusing on.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I would imagine even if you're going to think about that, you're looking at paper, past paper from the last 5 years rather than what came up 15 years ago, even if the curriculum.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even like for arguments like Spanish, we've seen an awful lot of repeat questions come up from like 2015, 2016, 2017. So like that to me is, you know, a vague pattern. So I'd be looking at, okay, well, what came up the couple of years, you know, in 2013 or 2014, because that could be one of the options that we have if they're going to continue that trend.
And when it comes to the videos that you do on French and Spanish, I assume they can't be like teachery, if for want of a better phrase. They have to be more TikTok-y.
Yeah.
This is why you're rubbish at French, you know.
Yeah. So I think my most viewed video with like anything to do with French or Spanish that isn't just, you know, Leaving Cert or study based, I think it has like 120,000 views or something. But the first line of it is just me saying, no offense, but this is why you're failing French. And then I go through, and that probably sounds so bad when I say that out loud, but then it goes through all the mistakes that students make, or what students get wrong, or what they don't prioritize, and that kind of stuff. And that got amazing traction then. And I got so many messages from people saying, oh my God, I didn't know this is how you're meant to answer this question, or I didn't know this was what this question was worth and stuff. So that's what I mean. You kind of like with TikTok, you nearly kind of have to start off with something like negative or like mean or slightly weird to get their attention span, to make sure that they then actually watch the rest of the video.
At this time of the year, are you making them, or have you made a set amount and that's it really?
I was putting stuff up coming up to the oral exams, and it was more so like a collection of like sample answers, or the night before I always put up a thing about like happy oral exam eve. And it was like things to bring into school or things to do or not do the morning of. But I actually just started my summer holidays, so I'm probably going to be making a lot more content now in the run up to the Leaving Cert, now that I've gotten my own 6 years past that part.
Okay, well, that's good. Are they? You're on your holiday. Is it a good idea if, you know, your Leaving Cert student says, I just won't go into school for the final 2 or 3 or 4 weeks and stay at home and study?
Yeah, well, my 6 years are finished, but I think, and I actually said this recently as well in an article, that to me, whether it's a junior cert student or a Leaving Cert student or a fifth year or whoever it is, I think like this whole new trend of like, I'm just not going to go into school, I'm going to go and study in the library instead. That's like, it's fine. Like that, if that's what works for you, like that's fine. But I just think you're missing out on everything else that comes with the lead up to exams. So like your teachers might be going through stupid things, like make sure that you don't write your answers in your exam with a pencil, or don't use this kind of Tippex in your exam, or don't forget to bring this in with you, or like little things like that. But you also forget, like, you're missing out in the last few days of your school experience. And you know, like those core memories with your friends or like that last funny class that you might have with the teacher and stuff. But in terms of work, I also think that like school serves a purpose. Like, I don't know about you, but like I would never go and sit in a library from 9 until 3:30 and get 6 hours of 6 different subjects done, which is what you're doing in school. So like, no, it might make you feel good to go to the library. It might be a nice little ego boost, but I don't necessarily know if it's as functional as school. I was just a nerd and I really liked school and I still love school now as a teacher. So I would have preferred to be there instead of in a silent library.
All right. Well, you're in the perfect job then. Is this a thing now among Irish teachers being on TikTok? I mean, do you have competitors and do you have to like, you know, do you have beef with them? Teachery beef?
I mean, not that I know of. competitors, no. There's loads of amazing teachers on TikTok. Like one of my good friends, Quiba, like she has a biology and chemistry account. One of my colleagues, Shane, who teaches Irish, has an Irish account. And they're both, I think Quiba's is Miss M Biochem and Shane's is SDP Guelga. And they both put out amazing content as well. And like I've met so many like amazing people through it. It's definitely made me a better teacher, weirdly, because you're interacting with students from all around the country and it's not just, you know, a Dublin bubble or a my 6 years bubble. And you can see what other students are getting in class. You can see how they're interacting with different questions and it might like make me think, oh, I never thought about doing the question that way. And so to me, I think it's a really positive environment. So, I mean, I don't, if anyone is listening that I do have beef with, maybe let me know, but I don't think so.
No, I was only messing. I was only, you know what, like, you know, influencers are like, or can be like at times. And I imagine a lot of the interaction you get, you probably get more questions than you could possibly answer.
Yeah, and a lot of it is like, is the same stuff, like, especially like with French and Spanish. There's two things that people are always stressed about. One of them is the opinion piece and the other one is the subjunctive. So like I have two kind of core videos on both of those things. And if a student asks me, I say, why didn't you go watch that video and then come back to me with the question that you have after it? So it's nice to kind of have that resource available to them permanently. And it's weirdly made my normal teaching life a little bit easier as well, because some of my notes, I just have like QR codes at the bottom of them. And if I run out of time in a lesson or a student wants to revise something, I can just say, scan that and it'll bring you to a video of me going through, you know, this topic. So it's a nice way for them to, you know, reinforce things that we've done in class too.
Wow. A QR code.
Yeah. It's really very, I know, very high tech, isn't
very
it?
Very high tech, very 21st century. Sitting under a bush with half a pencil. Katie, thanks a million for speaking with us. That was Katie Lenihan there, a French and Spanish teacher with the Dublin Academy of Education. And of course, you can find her on TikTok too. One texter says, I'm torn by this. I suppose it's good that there is an educational material on TikTok, but should we not be trying to discourage them from spending so much time on social media in the first place? Well, that's true. But I suppose if they're going to go for a break on social media, you know, it's better they'd be looking at this kind of thing than the normal nonsense. I'm not mad on this idea of giving them tips to pass the exam specifically. I think that's what's wrong with our education system in the first place. Instead of trying to make well-rounded people, we try to give them a shortcut to succeed at a limited exam. I know what you're saying, but like there's no better way of assessing, really. As far as I know, there's no better way of assessing. I suppose there's continuous assessment, but that's probably in a resource sense more difficult to do. And an exam is really the only way of telling, in a practical sense, how well a person has done over a year. But then again, as you say, an exam's only a snapshot of that. And there's some people are good at doing exams. There's a technique to it. And it's no harm if the student knows that technique as well. Rory says, oh, God, we all remember the clown repeatedly asking for extra paper from 5 minutes in. So can't imagine being inundated with videos of those types. Hard going being a student these days, says Rory. Indeed, yes. Can I have extra paper so I can fail the exam?
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
At RX Bar, they believe in simple nutrition without the BS. That's why they said no to artificial ingredients and yes to deliver intentional, transparent nutrition. Try their original 12-gram protein bar, the Nut Butter and Oat Bar, or Minis, RX Bar, the proud sponsor of No BS. Use code RXBAR on rxbar.com for 25% off. Subject to full terms and conditions and to change. Valid until September 30, 2025, and may not be combined with other offers. See rxbar.com for full details and limitations.